This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Today we're going to take a unique look at COVID-19 through the eyes of an orthopedic surgeon. Dr. David Hanscom has a unique perspective on COVID-19, which kind of blends with his approach to dealing with spinal pain. He's an orthopedic complex spinal deformity surgeon who is based in Seattle, Washington, and reoriented his practice. Now he's on a mission reintroducing true healing into medicine. He believes that doctors should spend quality time with their patients so they can listen and understand their complete situation. And he has some insights on how we might better cope with COVID-19. He has personal experience. He tested positive and experienced a coronavirus infection. He's also been working with a team of other medical doctors and researchers exploring the relationship between inflammation and all chronic diseases. And that's the commonality between COVID-19 and spinal pain. His most recent book is Do You Really Need Spine Surgery? So, without further ado, here's Dr. David Hanscom.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. So, tell us a little bit about your professional transition. You did complex spinal deformity surgery. That sounds like very, very mainstream medicine. Sometimes the results are not so optimal. Did that get you to change your practice orientation?
Well, what I finally realized, I was one of those surgeons who was very aggressive when I came out of my fellowship. And Seattle had 9 times the rate of spine fusions for back pain as any place in the entire country, and I was part of that. Around 8 years into my practice, the data came out that the success rate of a spine fusion for back pain was 22%. So I stopped. There's not been one research paper in 60 years that says that a spine fusion for back pain is effective. You were doing almost $20 billion of surgery a year. Spine surgery doesn't work for back pain. So finally, it's become so bad the last 5 years that in 2019, I said, look, I cannot do this anymore. I ran across a patient who did not need surgery, who was paralyzed. He's only 30 years old. I said, done. So in the meantime, I had developed chronic pain myself, which was quite severe. I came out of it sort of by accident in 2003. And I started to share the principles with my patients. And over the last 7 years, we've been very effective in treating people in chronic pain by taking a multi-pronged approach that's self-directed. So we've watched well over 1,500 patients in chronic pain go to pain-free. It's been a remarkable part of my practice.
Well, that's fascinating. So you will delve into your approach with spinal pain, but this approach has a generalizability that can help us cope with COVID-19. So
correct.
Explain, because you actually wrote a little treatise on the subject of COVID-19 and how we might better cope with it.
Well, I mean, the end of the story, I'll just jump to the end, which sounds rather dramatic, but actually we have a solution for the COVID pandemic right now. And it's basically the same concept as we use for chronic pain, is you take known, existing, proven medical practices and combine them. and the combinations are different for different people. But what you have to do with the COVID epidemic, in other words, chronic pain is complex. You have to address every variable simultaneously. The same thing with the COVID pneumonia that kills people is complex, but by addressing every aspect at the same time, recognizing what state of defense the body is in, marshaling the body's own defenses, it's a solvable problem. So getting the virus is not nearly the problem as, of course, dying from it. And so we feel very strongly by using proven medical principles systematically that this is a solvable problem.
So, I mean, currently we're on the cusp of what seems like a surge in cases in COVID-19. And the solution that's being proposed is that we go back to lockdown, that we sequester people and prevent them from acquiring the virus. I think your approach suggests that it's not the virus per se, it's our resistance factors or the way our bodies and our beings cope with it.
Right. It turns out in our search for chronic pain solutions that everything's inflammatory. So Alzheimer's, cardiac disease, peripheral vascular disease, adults that on diabetes, anxiety, all of that's inflammatory. In the COVID viruses, there's these small molecules, small proteins called cytokines. They're the molecules that allow cells to communicate with each other. There's receptors over every cell in the body, from the brain down to your feet. And so what happens is that these cytokines are either inflammatory or anti-inflammatory. So when you're feeling safe and relaxed, you have these anti-inflammatory cytokines. Your body chemistry is oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, which are great chemicals, and you regenerate. When you're under threat, your cytokines are elevated, your inflammatory process is elevated, including your immune system. What happens when now you have the threat of a virus on top of everything else, then you cross that threshold where you literally drown in your own fluids from an inflammatory response. So the first step that we recommend strongly, and I did write a separate paper on this, I call it Plan A, where there's about 10 different things you can do, 10 categories of things you can do to lower your baseline cytokines. So if you do get sick, well, you'll stay below that threshold that kills you. And as you well know, essentially everybody that dies from COVID has, quote, pre-existing factors. Every one of those factors has elevated inflammatory processes to start with.
So-called comorbidities.
Correct. But every one of those has inflammation. So let's take obesity. Again, the fat cells put off, I don't remember the exact term, they put off certain cytokines from fat cells, so your cytokines are elevated. For instance, African-Americans are dying from COVID in the males. Well, there's two things that are a problem there. One of them is a vitamin D deficiency, which is a critical vitamin for the white cells to actually kill the virus. Mm-hmm. Without vitamin D, why actually cannot successfully fight off the virus? But also threat. In other words, I'm becoming more and more aware. I've known this for a long time. But obviously, if you're a black African-American male in the United States, you live under a constant threat. That's become very clear even more in the last 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So you're in a constant threat.
Whether it's racism or whether it's the socioeconomic burdens that they may encounter, the insecurity of living in crime-infested neighborhoods, etc.
Right. Absolutely. So between the two, of course, what that does, threat, again, mental threat, anxiety, is processed with inflammatory markers. In other words, your immune system is one of the things that gets fired up. So that constant threat that they live under is a factor in elevating cytokines. So when they get sick, they have a higher chance of going over that threshold. And what happens is not the immune system that kills people or even getting the virus that kills you, is that the inflammatory response that's designed to protect you, in other words, it cleans up the virus and clears the tissues from the infection, that inflammation becomes too strong. The white cells leak through the blood vessels into the lungs, and you drown. It's called adult respiratory distress syndrome. And I've been in medicine for 40 years as an intern resident and 2 years as an internal medicine resident. I took care of ICU patients. I took care of my own complex spine patients for about 10 years with another ICU doctor. And what's interesting to me right now is that ARDS is not treated any better now 40 years later than it was back then. So a lot of diseases that can cause ARDS, just that COVID is pretty intense for lots of other reasons. But if you understand the body's defense defense mechanism of fight, flight, or freeze, or faint. What happens when you're attacked by a virus? That's a threat. You go into a sympathetic response, which is fight. Your inflammatory molecules go through the ceiling, and your body fights a valiant effort to fight off this virus, and most of the time it wins. As you know, 80% of people do just fine. 15%, you know, get pretty sick, but they recover, and 5% die. So what you're trying to do with the approach of what you can do before you get sick is certain things like sleep, regular exercise, all those lower inflammatory markers. There's a process called expressive writing, which has been documented in over 1,000 research papers to actually drop the viral load. It's a very simple exercise. There's things like not upsetting yourself, like watching the news all the time or watching violent TV, etc. Gossiping, complaining, anger, all those things actually crank up your cytokines. And as you probably well know, there's also an anti-inflammatory diets. There's also processing anxiety in a way that's actually very effective. Anxiety is physiological and inflammatory, not psychological. Anger. When you're angry and frustrated, while you've cranked up your cytokines through the ceiling, and again, the more legitimate your anger, the harder it is to process. But actually, forgiveness is part of the process, which is a learned skill, not philosophical. So those are some of the things you can do to actually lower your cytokine level before you get sick.
So surely you're not saying that this is just a mind over matter kind of situation. There are, you know, psychological components, but there are also dietary components, exercise, lifestyle, sleep, nutrition, supplemental nutrients, et cetera, right?
Well, this is probably a different conversation, but what we're finding out in this work group, that there's no difference between mental pain and physical pain. In other words, the brain processes the same way. So basically, it's basically threat versus safety. And so again, anxiety is an inflammatory disorder. In other words, you have a mental, so we found out that emotions actually create the same neurochemical response in your body as a physical threat. It's the same thing. So that's why living in poverty under threat of authority is a true threat, that your body responds with elevated cytokines. And I've actually dropped the term mind-body syndrome because the brain and body are just a unit. No, this is a unit response. We look at it as a one nervous system. There are 50 trillion cells in the human body. There's 80 billion brain cells. There's 10,000 connections per neuron in the brain. So it's an incredibly intertwined, complex system. So when people talk about stress, they look at it as a psychological construct. It's simply your human organism responding to the environment as a unit. So it's actually not mind over matter. It's just understanding that the mind is the thing that dictates the whole process.
Well, you've experienced this personally. You tested positive and experienced a coronavirus infection. Explain how some of these precepts guided you through what could have been, I mean, frankly, you're a retired physician with a long career. You technically, I would imagine you fit into the high-risk group, you know, the over 65 age group that is especially vulnerable to this. So how did you weather the crisis?
Well, maybe I'm high-risk, maybe I'm not. I'm not 100% sure that age in and of itself is a risk factor. Mm-hmm. Because what we do know that when you're older, there's a higher incidence of malnutrition. We also know that people can be more anxious and stressed as they get older. So I'm 67. I don't have any other major medical problems.
Both. You and me both.
Is that right? Okay. Happy sort of. Yeah. No, it's good. It's a good part of life. But I also do everything I've talked about to my patients. In other words, I have to practice what I preach, which is harder than just teaching it, of course. But yeah, I do my expressive writing. I exercise. I relax. I am very becoming more careful about my diet. Surgeons are not great about diets, as you probably know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just doing things to keep my inflammatory markers down. So when I get sick, I was sick for about 4 days. I recovered in about a week, and I've got antibodies. I've tested positive. So yes, I got sick. If I had gotten sick 20 years ago when I was younger, but incredibly anxious, stressed, probably immunocompromised, I may not have done so well 20 years later. So we also know older people have zinc deficiencies, which is a huge factor. It's a metalloprotein, which allows enzymes to function. Vitamin D, like we mentioned before, is a huge factor. So it turns out that maybe the risk for older patients is the fact that they have these deficiencies, right, that aren't as common in younger people.
Or maybe they have more time to accumulate excess weight. Maybe they've got musculoskeletal injuries that preclude exercise, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's
right.
The woes tend to accumulate as you age, but you can also age gracefully and maintain optimal body weight, diet, and, you know, your sleep habits sometimes can be more challenged as you age, but you can also optimize sleep later in life. There's just a tendency for things to go more awry as you age. It doesn't necessarily mean that older people necessarily have to undergo an immune collapse.
Right. I mean, I guess like I would like to emphasize is that, okay, say you're a person listening to the show and you're 68 and you're overweight, have diabetes, and there's a tendency to get frustrated because, I mean, what are you going to do now? I mean, there's a COVID epidemic. You're not going to lose all this weight. Yep. But honestly,
this program could be anxiety producing for some people. They may say, hey, according to this guy, I'm screwed. I'm a sitting duck here for, you know, all these problems.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But here's the deal. So I wrote a little, it's on my website, backincontrol.com. You can sign in and get a brochure called Thrive and Survive Plan A. And most people think in terms of surviving, then thriving. The reality is if you learn how to thrive, in other words, you can train your nervous system to actually enjoy life, calm things down. You learn tools to take control of your life and thrive. We know that data shows, dozens of papers show that when you're under chronic stress, people die earlier. Cancer, heart disease, all sorts of stuff. People live 7 years less lifetime when they're under chronic stress. So again, it's a total body response to the environment. When you're full of inflammatory cytokines, you simply don't live as long. You have lots of other diseases going. So let's say you're that person who is not in great physical shape. You have multiple medical problems. Even switching to an anti-inflammatory diet today will make a difference in a week. Actually taking a 15-minute walk once a day, that'll make a difference. So you can actually make a difference right now without losing the 50 pounds or whatever you want to lose. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually do stuff with the expressive writing. It could not be simpler. You write 5 or 10 minutes a day, tear up a piece of paper, done. Over 1,000 research papers documents it has a profound effect on wound healing, on asthma, autoimmune disorders, viral load and HIV. So it cannot be simple exercises. So there are very concrete things you can do right now to actually drop your cytokines.
How do you get a report card on your cytokines? Some people may not be attuned to, how am I doing? And maybe you can see a before and after with interventions.
I mean, I think that one thing that the society should consider, so I'll speak like a public health person for a person. Right now, instead of spending efforts on vaccines, et cetera, which are important, there should be a public health message saying, look, there are things you can do to lower your inflammatory levels. So I think drawing what's called an IL-6 test is an inflammatory cytokine. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the most sensitive test you could draw right now. There's another one called C-reactive protein, which I would tell you when I had drawn it myself about 7 years ago, was actually triple. I'm going, what? Mm-hmm. So it turned out I was having a horrible diet, and a few other things I changed and dropped my C-reactive protein, which is an inflammatory marker, back into the normal level. And then the other one's called a SED rate, which I'm not sure how this fits in the picture, but I think this was called IL-6 and a C-reactive protein are two pretty good tests to actually find out where your inflammatory markers are.
Mm-hmm. IL-6 being one of the most pro-inflammatory cytokines. That test a little less accessible than the C-reactive protein and the SED rate. SED rate commonly performed and relatively cheap, but you can order the IL-6 test.
Right.
Okay. All right, so this is a good point at which to pause, because we divide our podcast into two parts. And today we're talking to Dr. David Hanscom. He is an orthopedic surgeon who's turned his attention to prevention. Prevention applies to the realm of pain and spinal surgery, because so much surgery goes awry. Failed back surgery is a common phenomenon in this medical system. And now, in our current pandemic, he is working with a working group to develop guidelines for aggressive prevention of COVID-19. It may not boil down to some magic remedy, a panacea, a magic bullet, or vaccine, but some of the sensible measures that we can undertake to safeguard our resistance to a virus, which can be benign or can be very serious, depending on your underlying status. His website is backincontrol.com. Is that the main place where people can get your information?
Correct. So on the website, there's this one brochure called Plan A, Thrive and Survive. And we talked about that on the first podcast. But what I'd like to emphasize now is what we call Plan B. And we've had this work group for about 6 months. And I will just give total credit to two physicians who are just brilliant. One of them is Dr. David Clausen, a physiatrist in Seattle. And the other one is Dr. Stephen Porges, who wrote the polyvagal theory back in the 1990s. And the two of their knowledge is just stunning. So I look at myself as a messenger and interpreter trying to understand what the heck they're saying. But right now, we have developed a sequence of interventions from a medical clinical standpoint that can halt this pandemic right now using minimal risk, widely available resources. This is a solvable pandemic.
All right. We're going to pause when we return more on the subject of prevention with Dr. David Hanscom. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.